Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Lynch, there's a major primary going on for the Senate seat. You and Ed Markey are contesting for this. Tell us a little bit about the state of the race.
Well, it's April 30th is the Democratic and Republican primary. Largely it's been a breakneck pace for both candidates. I think starting this race, there were half of the population that didn't know who either one of us was. So obviously we've both spent a little bit of time up on the air on TV ads, but of course that doesn't reach everyone. So there's no substitute for, you know, getting out to Pittsfield and Springfield, little towns like Dalton, to Chicopee, to Fitchburg, Leominster, Gardner, Worcester as well. So we've put a lot of miles on the truck, so to speak, and just trying to get around the state to meet with everyone and talk about our story and what kind of candidate I would be.
Some people paint this as a race between a more conservative you and a more liberal guy, Markey. Is that fair?
Well, I would say it's probably a contest between two very different people. One of who, yes, is very liberal, and one that is a moderate myself. It's not just about that in terms of voting record. It's really about the type of leadership that we both have adopted, the type of styles that we bring to government, leadership styles, and also perspective. I have a much different perspective and much different background than Mr. Markey does, and not surprisingly, it's had a very strong influence on the type of leader that I am.
Well, what kind of background do you have, if I may call you Stephen? What kind of background is it that has led you to be who you are?
Well, I grew up in public housing, the Old Colony Housing Project in South Boston. My mom and dad, five sisters. Grew up in a pretty tough place, my dad says there were times in our family we had to save up to be poor. So, if we did not have public housing at that time, we would have been homeless. So I take a much different view of programs like affordable housing in the Congress. My dad was an iron worker. My mom was a postal clerk. I followed my dad into the ironworking business. I was an ironworker myself for 18 years.
Wow.
Strapped on a pair of work boots every single day. I know what it is to work hard, know what it is to work from paycheck to paycheck in order to make ends meet, try to help your family. And I know what it's like to stand in an unemployment line like a lot of people in Massachusetts these days. And I worked at the General Motors plant for a while in Framingham, Massachusetts, before GM made a big decision to close down a number of United States plants and open up three auto plants in Mexico. Lost thousands and thousands of jobs because of that. I saw what that did to the town of Framingham and the surrounding area. It took them a long time to recover, if they've ever recovered. So I take a different view of foreign trade agreements, make sure that those are more favorable for workers. And, I became president of the Iron Workers. I had a leadership role there, making sure the workers had decent wages and benefits, they had a decent pension at the end of their lives and decent working conditions. So, I know what it is to work on behalf of working families.
What did you do when you were an iron worker? It's one thing to hear you were an iron worker, but did you make things, or what did you do?
Well, I actually, climbed the iron. Basically, the way steel erection works is, you stand up your columns, and you climb up on those columns, and they swing some steel up to you. And you swing it in place, and you bolt it in place, align it properly, and then you scurry out on the beam, and then you cut the crane loose, and they'll throw up another piece of iron towards you. They'll swing it up.
So, you're building a building, for example, when you're building a building?
Buildings, build office towers. I built bridges. I built power plants.
Wow.
I built a refinery down in New Orleans, in Louisiana. Built a power plant out in New Mexico and one in Indiana and one in Illinois as well. So, you know, basically steel erection. But
and it can be
also
dangerous.
I was a welder too. Preferably I didn't like to eat smoke all day, which is what you got to do when you're a welder. But when that was the only work around, I would do that.
It's dangerous, isn't it? Dangerous work.
Yeah, it's extremely dangerous. The according to OSHA, the two most dangerous occupations in America today are ironworking and coal mining. Coal mining, they lose a lot of people from black lung and from mining disasters that claim, a lot of workers all at once. Iron workers, they generally, die from falls, but those are two very dangerous industries.
What do you think about the Keystone Pipeline talking about putting things together?
Well, you know what? We have a challenge here. We want to move away from fossil fuels, but the Canadian government's made a decision that they're going to develop their tar sands region. They're going to pull the oil out of the ground, and they're trying to figure out the most efficient way to do that. We can block them, I think. Yeah, we can block them. We can tell them that they can't, put a pipeline down to the refineries, and that they would be forced to either build a new pipeline or truck it by rail or by truck. But they'll develop their petroleum industry, no question about it. So we just got to figure out what's the best way to approach this. Now we may force them to do that in their own country and go out to the ports and accomplish it that way. That would be a very negative impact on their environment, our environment as well. If they were to do that, they're basically replacing for the world energy supply. They're replacing what would be normally produced in the Middle East. In America today, we import about 2 billion barrels of oil from the Middle East each day. The costs of that from an environmental standpoint and from a global security standpoint are enormous, staggering. We've been in the Middle East now for, 12, 13 years, largely to begin with in the Gulf War to secure the Middle East oil supply.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to figure out a way that we can, tax carbon use, fossil fuel use, so that we can pour over that revenue to create technologies that either burn fuel more efficiently or develop alternative energies that will allow us to move away from fossil fuel. But I think that's the essential agreement we have to have, is that when fossil fuels are used, we have to be taxing them because they create externalities. They damage our environment. And we've got to make sure those taxes are poured over into programs and research that move us away from fossil fuels, because we cannot continue to operate that way. The president has he's described his policy as an all of the above policy for energy, which is not only renewables, but also, fossil fuels as well. I agree with that. I agree with that general approach. We're still waiting on an environmental impact statement, a final EIS, on the Keystone Pipeline. If it comes out that they say we cannot do this safely, then we shouldn't do it. But if there's a way to do it safely and it's a less impactful result on the environment than the alternatives, then we ought to consider that.
Okay, Congressman Lynch, we're going to have to leave it there. But when we come back the next time, I'm going to go through a list of things and see how you stand on them, okay?
Sure.